I'm turning now to the letter of James, chapter 1 and verse 17. James, chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Our subject is, only God can make us complete. Only the Lord. And we're incomplete as people, as beings, until he does so, until we have his work in our lives. If I may refer to the preceding verse, do not err, my beloved brethren. Do not err. Do not be led astray. Do not be misled. Do not be deceived. Literally in the Greek, do not planet away or wander away. Do not err. Every good and every perfect gift is from above. Don't be misled by society's claims. Don't be misled by what people say, that you can get in this life all the rewards you want and all the happiness and perfect satisfaction and fulfillment without having any relationship with God. That is what is said. Don't be misled. Every good and every perfect gift is from above. You can do it. You can have a happy life. You can know perfect fulfillment and satisfaction without God. This is a great world. This is a great life, so they tell us. And we don't need to worship or give thanks to God or seek anything from him. We have what it takes. We have all the abilities and powers we need. And we can advance and make out very well without any talk of God, without any belief in him. So in the light of that, I'd like to think of this 17th verse and what it means. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Well, all gifts come from God, even limited earthly gifts. And we're going to be distinguishing in our brief time this evening between the gifts that God gives everyone and the best gifts and the perfect, complete gifts that he gives only to those who ask him, who apply for them. There are many gifts, and they should encourage us. That is, powers, aptitudes, abilities, benefits that we may have in life. And really, they're all from God. And every power you possess, and every ability, which is to some extent unique to yourself, and every combination of them, well, you owe praise and thanks to God. They are given you. You're not told that. These days, it isn't fashionable to say so in this present society of ours. And you may not have known it. You may not think it. Perhaps an instinct will tell you that everything you are and everything you have comes from God. Maybe you've dismissed it, though. Maybe it's not something you like to be bothered with or you like to think about. There's an implication, if you do, that perhaps you owe him something. You owe him your thanks, or you owe him your life, or you owe him some attention, and perhaps you're unwilling to give that. So you dismiss even what you know by instinct. That's what happens to us all. So all these powers and abilities, they actually come from God. But here, there's very special language used. Every good gift, noble gift, precious, priceless gift, and every perfect gift. That means every complete gift. The translators have used the word perfect. The Greek specifically means complete, entire. Every gift that is perfect in that sense. There's nothing missing. It has everything. So perfect is quite right, but complete might just convey the sense to us a tiny bit better. Now, physical gifts, will they secure for you total satisfaction in life? You've got brains, perhaps. Will that win you or earn you satisfaction in life? Will it make your life and make you happy? Well, no, you know perfectly well that there are many, many extremely clever people who are desperately unhappy, deeply unhappy. So that's no guarantee. To have intellectual abilities and attainments doesn't ensure happiness at all. That's not a complete gift and an infallible and a perfect gift. Then you may supplement brains with education. You may have had the opportunity to have a first-rate education. Well, that's a gift. And in a sense, education all comes from God. It's God who's given us the power of reason to develop learning and understanding and knowledge of sciences and skills and so on. So it's a gift from God. Yet simply earthly education may not secure for you, well, will not secure for you the best gifts, the good gifts, and the perfect gifts. We have to distinguish between gifts that God graciously gives to everyone and the special gifts which he only gives to those who ask him for them. You may have been born into money, who knows, or something, social advantage. And you may have absolute security and so on. And you may have a very unusual personality and people like you. And you're very popular. And people want your companionship and your friendship and praise you. But that won't guarantee you happiness or success either. None of these things will. You know, people pin their hopes on the lower order of gifts, wonderful as they may be, beneficial as they may be. You may have a tremendous physique. You may be very able athletically or in some sport and so on. But that's not going to guarantee you happiness. There are desperately unhappy sports people, and some of them become unhappy because it's a rather short-lived gift, or it's cut off by injury or disability of some kind, or you age and you lose it, and so on. And people who've once known fame and acclaim and success and the thrill of winning and so on, they have to say goodbye to all that and grow a bit older like everyone else. So it's not a complete gift, it's only for a time. It's only for a while. You can't hang on to the natural and the physical and the mental gifts necessarily. These are the lower order of gifts. Grand, good, beneficial, yes, but by no means everything. They're not the best gifts, and they're not the perfect gifts that are given only to those who ask. I knew very well a lady. And when she was young, she came to believe that she had a very unpleasant nose. She didn't have, well, I didn't think so anyway, but she became increasingly convinced about it. And the more she thought about it, the more she needed, so she felt, surgery. And eventually, I think roughly her mid-20s, she went for surgery. And the result, well, most of her friends didn't notice the difference. As the result of this expensive surgery. But there was a difference, yes, but better or worse, that's a matter of opinion. But however, it didn't solve her problems in her life, because as it happened, this lady had quite an unhappy and a sad life, and a lot of things went wrong for her, and she was unhappy in love, in matters of the heart, in the way things developed in her life, and so on. And then she got very ill and suffered a fatal illness. But, well, with her, the happiest thing was that before her death she found the Lord. So she would have lasting possessions, lasting gifts, lasting happiness. But how many people don't? They stake everything on one thing. If I had this, I'd be happy. If I had this, I'd have everything I want, and things will go so much better. And it doesn't work out like that. They may get some advantage, but it doesn't do all that they'd hoped by any means. We need the higher level of gifts, dear friends, the ones that come from God. And if we don't seek them from him, we will not have them. and I'm going to be describing them in a little while. Without these higher gifts, we all have a serious handicap. We're all incomplete people. To illustrate, we're rather like somebody whose education stops, say, at the age of 7 or 8. How very sad to have no further education than such a young age and learn nothing more and develop no skills in reading, writing, maths, anything you like. It stopped short. What a disadvantage. What a disadvantage in life not to have the best gifts and the perfect gifts that come in answer to prayer. No good being beautiful without the best gifts. No good being brainy. No good being shrewd in business. No good being anything athletic without the best gifts that make all the difference to life and happiness and fulfillment. Why, the athletic person may be friendless. The rich person may be miserable. And so it goes. The highest and the best gifts are missing. And as I've mentioned already, you can have plenty of the natural gifts, and yet still they're not perfect, they're not complete. You've got brains, you've got a fine profession or a job, but then there's a slump and you're made redundant, and you can't practice your skills, and you're broke, and you're without, and you're miserable, and you're unfulfilled. You've got that gift, that earthly gift, but it isn't complete to cushion you. It isn't enough to cushion you through all the vicissitudes and difficulties of life. So you have to remember these things. I remember once as a youngster seeing a breaker's dock, and there was a great liner in it. You know these great liners that used to cross the Atlantic between the wars, and then their fame and their fortune waned. Some of them were still operating through the 50s and into the very early 1960s. But I remember seeing this great, beautiful vessel in a breaker's dock. Apparently, by this time, it had long since had its engines scrapped and its rudder and some of its superstructure. Tragic thing to see it there, motionless, powerless, completed, had the structure and the beauty of a once great liner and nothing else. And that's rather like us, without the best gifts, the gifts that give us true motion and purpose and happiness and fulfillment. Well, what are the good gifts? Verse 17 of James chapter 1, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. They're gifts, friends. They're free, just like the ones you were born with. Just like your brains and your looks and your aptitudes and your powers that you were born with. You didn't pay for them. You couldn't have done. You had nothing. You were nothing. You were just born. They were gifts from God, freely given to you, and you've possibly never thanked him or never credited him with them. That was so with me. Well, the best gifts are the same. They're free. You have to ask for them. You cannot buy them. You cannot buy the best gifts in this world. There's no merchant can or would sell them to you. You have to receive them as free gifts from God. They are gifts. What are we talking about? What are these gifts? Well, pardon, the forgiveness of God. What a gift. It's worth more than the greatest fortune in the world. You can be a multi-billionaire, and one day you'll have to stand before God and give an account of your life. And you'll be punished for your sins, for all of them. They're beyond counting. We've sinned every moment of every day in some form, if not by deeds that we've done, by attitudes towards God, towards life. We're sinners through and through. How can you possibly have your slate wiped clean and stand offenseless and clean before God, to have his forgiveness, to have everything blotted out and wiped out. What would you pay? You can't. But to have that forgiveness as a free gift, the writing off of all sin, that is the most precious, priceless, incalculable gift possible. That's the first I'd like to mention, the gift of God in forgiveness. But these are perfect gifts. They are complete. They don't come alone. With forgiveness comes something else. Forgiveness would be wonderful, but it wouldn't be perfect if it wasn't accompanied by other gifts. When the midwife looks at the newly born babe and counts the fingers and the toes and the limbs and so on, whatever the midwife does, it's a perfect child which is wanted, complete, entire. It would be no good having one gift, even the forgiveness of God, if it came alone. But God doesn't give it alone, because these gifts are perfect. They're accompanied by everything else that's necessary. And with forgiveness comes a new nature, so that you can please God and you can live for him. You have a new heart in you, and new tastes, and an entirely new character and nature with which to love God and to serve him. And you're not made sinless, but you're made capable of striving to please God, and by the help of God, to overcome your temper and the deceitful tongue and the selfish heart and all these other things. When God forgives, he doesn't leave it at that. He gives you the equipment to live for him. And the mean person becomes generous, and the cruel person becomes gentle, and the deceitful person becomes concerned for honesty and truth. And there's a wonderful transformation and a change, and the new nature is given. But these are perfect gifts. Even that is not alone, because with it comes the help and the blessing of God. And you're given the ability to pray to him as you never did before. And you call upon him every day and praise his name and pray for your needs and for others also. And whenever you're in distress or difficulty, then you pray to God and he helps you. And he strengthens you, and he blesses you, and he warms your heart, and comes to your aid. And it's unmistakable. And sometimes somebody who's never believed in Christ will say to a Christian person, "How do you know that your God is there? How do you know?" And the Christian stands back and says, "How do I know? Well, we'd be here all day and all night and for weeks on end if I gave you all the answer that I could give you of how God has dealt with me and helped me and unmistakably heard my cries and prayers and assisted me and strengthened me and blessed me." These things are wonderful. Like going up to an atomic scientist and saying, "Can you please tell me and explain to me the entire theory of atomic physics?" And he'll look at you with astonishment and he'll say, "How long have we got? 5 minutes? Where shall we start?" So that you'll understand. Oh, the experience of the Christian man, woman, young person, as we have the help and the blessing of God. And then that's not alone. It wouldn't be any good having the forgiveness of God and the new nature and the blessing and the help of God if we didn't have it forever. Why, as Paul says in reasoning one matter out, if we are here Christians only for this life, and then it's all going to be taken away from us at the end, we are of all men most miserable. But no, this is a perfect gift, so it will last not only for life, but for all eternity. And one day we'll be ushered in to the eternal realms, the dwelling place of God, and we'll be transformed in every imaginable way, and we'll be with him for all eternity. These are the gifts of God. Oh, to have his forgiveness, to be remade as a person, to have his help, to have his love. I didn't mention that. but to have the love of God, and to be his child, and to know that his eye is upon me, and he will guide me, and he will deliver me, and help me, and bless me. He will call me to serve him, and call me through many hard things, but he will always be with me, and strengthen me, and enable me. And he will open up my mind so that I understand things I never understood before about him, about eternity, about his plans. These things are wonderful. And I shall have communion with him and relate to him and know his nearness and walk with him and love him. Dear friends, God's gifts. There is, I can do business with God. I have life in the soul. I am no longer somebody who stopped their education at 8, someone who has missing essential parts to me, not missing limbs, but something much worse, a missing soul, a missing spirit. I'm no longer like that. I'm made complete. Every good gift, the top rank gifts, the best gifts, the gifts of spiritual light and life and relationship, and every perfect and complete gift is from above. Let me argue it another way for a moment. You have naturally some gifts from God. We've mentioned some already. Let me mention some others. Even before you get the best gifts, you've got some others. You've got the gift of love, the power to love. How can you live without the power to love? The power to love your husband, your wife. The power to love in courtship. The power to love close friends, children, parents. How can you get through without the power to love? It's an essential part of human blessing. It's a wonderful gift. But it isn't among the best gifts because it's so imperfect. You love somebody, and then you go and lose your temper with them. And there's cold war, and hostility, and unhappiness, and injury, and hurt. So God is gracious. He's given us love. But because of our human sin, it doesn't rank among the best gifts. Not until God forgives us and gives us a new nature. It's something we wouldn't want to be without, to be the giver and receiver of love. But it's not in the first rank until we know the converting power of God. That's the trouble. We're like the child who one minute says to his or her mother, the little child, I love you, and the next minute, I hate you. And the mother has to learn that these things go up and down. It's a great gift, but it's by no means perfect until God takes hold of our life. Your conscience. What a gift is conscience. The inborn capacity to know right from wrong. What is right and what is wrong. And yet, the conscience, it's not a perfect gift until you're converted to God because you can't obey it. And sometimes you smother it, and it's capable of being smothered. And anyway, if the conscience says, you lied, you did something which was dirty and unclean, yes, but the conscience can't forgive you. The conscience can't wash you clean. The conscience can't make you better. It's a great gift. It raises you higher than the animals, but it isn't a perfect gift. Oh no, only God's forgiveness, only God's changing power, giving you a new nature, only God's gift of prayer, only God giving you eternal life. These are the best gifts. There are other gifts you have too, but I won't detain you. You have knowledge, the power to know. You're far, far higher than an animal. Yes, but it isn't a perfect gift because you know how things work, but you don't know why. You don't see the place that God plays in things. Man has the power to grasp scientific wonders, but he draws utterly the wrong conclusions and says, oh, it all just happened. It all just happened by accident. Much right knowledge, disastrous conclusions. Because the gift of knowledge isn't infallible and it isn't perfect. That's why knowledge has to be constantly rewritten to a great extent over and over again. Oh, it's not one of the perfect gifts, good as it is, and grateful as we ought to be for it. And pleasure. You have the gift of feeling pleasure. There are things that make you happy, things that make you laugh, things that lift you up. What a gift, the kindness of God to human beings. But it isn't a perfect gift, because it isn't with you all the time. It disappears quite often, and for some people very often indeed. And you plunge down, and you're desperately unhappy, or ill at ease, or bored, or whatever. But it isn't with you all the time. No, the best gifts are the pardon of God. Because when you have his pardon, all your sins are forgiven. And they're forgiven not only through time, but for eternity. The new nature. Oh, to have a refined nature where you love God and you desire to please him and honor him. And you hate your sin. And power, too, of character. To live better. To have these things is so much better. To have the gift of faith. How to obtain them. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. You cannot produce it. I've probably only got time to correct one big error, mistake that people make when it comes to religion. And many people make it. They say, oh, yes, God, eternal life. To know him and to walk with him. I know what I must do. I must deserve it and earn it. So I'll look out for myself one of these churches that gives me things to do. Or one of these religions that says you can do it. This is what you've got to do. Pay 2.5% of your money to good causes and things like that. I'll do that and it will buy me the attention of God and blessing and eternal life. No, every good and perfect gift cometh down from above. It's a gift. It must be given to you. It must come from God. You cannot earn it, deserve it, pay for it. It's impossible. Our sin is so great. Our offense to God is so great. It must be free. Oh, Lord, give me pardon, forgiveness, and God must pay for it. Well, how does he pay for it? Well, I'm sure you know. This is the heart of the Christian message, that the second person of the Trinity, equal with the Father, came down out of heaven into this world of time. We're approaching Christmas and the Incarnation. And he assumed a human body and a human personality. And in the great plan of God, he allowed himself at a given time to be taken, to be arrested, to be tried. A terrible, terrible trial, the greatest injustice in the world. But it was the will of God that it should be so. And then to be nailed to the cross on Calvary's cross. And there, God the Father would put upon him all the guilt of all people in the world, from time past to the end of the world, who would come to Jesus Christ and trust in him, and punished him instead of us, punished him, poured out his wrath and anger against sin, as prearranged with his Son. He would take it all. And thereby pay for our forgiveness. God is so just. He must punish sin. He cannot go back on his holy nature and his innate justice. He must punish our sin. How can he possibly punish our sin and forgive us? Only by suffering the consequences of sin and the punishment himself. and the most astonishing thing that ever took place in the history of the world was the atoning, substitutionary death of the Son of God for sinners. Oh, dear friends, so he purchased the right to give us the gift of pardon and the gift of life, eternal life, and the gift of a new nature, and the ultimate gift of love. These are the best gifts that come down from above. I wish I had time. Every good gift, what a good gift. Pardon, new life, eternal life, and every perfect gift. It will never die, it will never fail. It will surely see you through, is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, the Father of the heavenly bodies, of the sun and the moon and the stars. Those are the heavenly lights. Why are we told this? Well, because if he's the Father of the heavenly bodies in the heavens, in the skies, it shows he is the Father of immense power, who holds all creation in his hands. He is the Father of these mighty things, far greater than we are. So he will surely keep his promise. If he can keep the sun and the moon and the stars in their stations permanently for countless, countless years, he is the Father who can give us eternal life. That's why this is mentioned. It cometh down from the Father of lights. But there's something wrong from human perspective with the sun and the moon and the stars. From our perspective, they move. They alter. The sun hides itself at night from our perspective. From season to season, its rays strengthen or weaken. The light of the moon, from our perspective, it's either full and bright or it's small and dim. Ah, that's not a good enough illustration for God. And so immediately, he's the Father of lights, proving his power and his endurance. But here's the difference. With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He himself is far greater than sun, moon, and stars. He never changes. His wrath against sin will never change. His mercy will never change to those who come to him and trust in Jesus Christ. His care of those who come to him throughout eternity, throughout life, will never alter, because he cannot change. He's perfect. The divine being who is perfect cannot change. If he needed to change, he wouldn't be perfect. So the text tells us to trust in him for the best gifts, and we need to come to him, repenting of our sin, yielding our lives to him, trusting in Christ. Ask him, friends, for the best gifts you haven't gotten if you've never come to him. Ask him for them. Repent of your sin. Ask him to change you. Ask him to make you his child. Tell him you trust in Christ alone for salvation. Ask him, and you get the best gifts, the good gifts, the perfect gifts. That's what we need more than anything else. Let's pray. Oh God, our gracious Heavenly Father, help us, look upon us, grant us these gifts, the gift of life and light, the gift of fellowship with thyself, the gift of pardoning love, the gift of a new status, that of a child of God. O Lord, give these best gifts, save us and help us from this day forward. We ask it in the name of our Saviour, for his sake. Amen. Let's sing together.